Charlotte Booker, you are doing your solo cabaret show, She's Alive, all about Elsa Lanchester, famously the star of The Bride of Frankenstein. You're doing this Wednesdays and Thursday nights in October at the Venus Cabaret here in Chicago. Have you programmed this show in October because the show itself is spooky-ooky, or because you so spookily and scarily channel Elsa Lanchester herself?
Oh, what a wonderful question.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 932, Charlotte Booker's Alive. Great character actress Charlotte Booker is playing great character actress Elsa Lanchester in her own one-woman show, Elsa Lanchester, She's Alive. It's a fantastic 70-minute cabaret show that I saw last week. And actually, I lied. It's a one-woman and one-accompanist show. So I was thrilled to talk to Charlotte and her husband slash accompanist slash friend of the pod, Mark Nutter, about Elsa Lanchester and her most famous film credits, including the title character in The Bride of Frankenstein, famously directed by James Whale.
You know, it's funny because I don't think of her as particularly a Halloween sort of person. You know, her birthday was in October, so that's interesting. But other than that, I don't think of her as being so spooky. I think of her as being the first girl monster and sort of a girl power figure. You know what I mean?
And an arguably the better film than the film it was the sequel to.
Far better, so much more sophisticated, and I think speaks to us now, maybe even more than it did to people then.
Yeah,
because we kind of see what might have been working in James Whale's subversive mind. You know, it's so funny. It's just a screamingly funny movie. And she was very funny, too. And so I think of her as, you know, and I think of her as the nurse in Witness for the Prosecution, you know, and your cigars, you know, all and Katie Nana in Mary Poppins and the creepy mother in Willard, the rat movie.
I never knew that about Willard. What a great credit.
I know, right? And she's Miss Marbles in Murder by Death. And she did tons of movies when she was very young. She played a lot of maids, saucy maids when she was young. So I think of her as being Halloween, a Halloween character. But what's so also interesting to me is how young people, especially young women, dress up like Bride of Frankenstein for Halloween and have these beautiful tattoos of her. And she has sort of become a goth icon. So I guess in that way, she is a Halloween figure.
Love it. Well, it seems so appropriate. And her hairstyle in The Bride of Frankenstein was famously copied by Madeline Kahn in Young Frankenstein.
Right.
And
that was her own hair. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
She was also The Bride of Frankenstein was a redhead. But it reads black and white in the film. But they used her own hair, and she had very, very, very curly hair. So when they straightened it straight up, it looked sort of electric. Mm. And the makeup man, James Pierce, I think, that she couldn't stand him, but he put the asymmetrical streaks after he stuck her hair up on a wire cage. So, apparently the makeup was really painful.
It gave her the Marge Simpson before Marge Simpson.
Yeah. And you know what, man? What's his groaning? Is that how you
Groaning,
say it?
Groaning.
He was thinking also of Bride of Frankenstein, I guess not Elsa so much. for Marge. And you, she even, I think there are a couple of episodes where she even is the Bride of Frankenstein on that show. So
the Bride of Frankenstein is probably Elsa's most famous role. Was that a key moment in her career? Was that the show with the film that sort of made her a star, or did she do things before this that we don't even know about?
She did a lot of stuff. She was already a star in London. Mm. In fact, she was sort of a star. She was the it girl of London. Mm. She was considered a free spirit. She was raised bohemian. Her parents were socialists, pacifists, feminists, vegetarians, what else? Anti-vaxxer, which you're not supposed to say these days, but in those days, they didn't know about vaccination. They knew very little about it.
Yeah, it was okay to be that when people were stupid 100 years ago.
Exactly.
And now they're all dead, so there.
Coincidence? You decide.
The current anti-vaxxers probably soon will be. So she was raised to be a free spirit, and she was sort of this it girl. She was painted and sculpted nude, and she was really hot stuff in the 20s.
As pointed out in the show, you can see her, the National Gallery, the National Portrait Gallery in London.
Yeah, all kinds of photos and paintings of her when she was young, you know, and she was very odd looking, striking. And so she started getting cast in plays. The first play she was cast in was with John Gielgud and Claude Rains.
Wow.
And she had no, you know, they were, I think at least Gielgud was a Rada boy. I think maybe Claude Rains was too. She didn't have any of those credentials. Mm. She was sort of, you know, the
vivacious.
Cool, yeah, the flavor of the month for a few years.
And what drew you to wanting to portray her on stage?
Well, I was thinking about that this morning, and there are a lot of reasons. But one is that I loved when I was a little girl, I loved the Universal scary monster movies.
Yeah.
And she was the only girl monster, you know, and so I liked that. And I always loved Frankenstein also. I always sort of felt sorry for him. But that was one reason. And she was a monster, but she was kind of hot. Mm-hmm. That was also very appealing to me. And but also there's a thing when you're a redhead, you kind of are drawn to other redheads. I've always been a Lucille Ball fan. Mm-hmm. And when I was a little girl, I was a Red Skelton fan and a Mark Twain fan. Mm-hmm. And thank God I got past just the red hair and actually, you know, read him. But
yeah. Red buttons?
Huge red buttons. But yeah. Now listen, you laugh.
Don't laugh at red buttons.
Is that where you're going with this? Elsa Lanchester never got a dinner.
No, he's not one of my. It would be Lucille Ball, Clara Bow, Carol Burnett. Elsa Lanchester.
I'm so tempted to draw parallels between her career and your career, because you're sitting there with your husband and accompanist, Mark Nutter, who has a Frankenstein aspect to him.
Yes.
In a good way. And I assume you posed nude and were vivacious as a younger person as well.
I did a steam bath when I was in college, and I wasn't nude, but I wore sort of a hand towel around my derriere, and I was topless, and I was known for that, yes, in school, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you, I guess. At the time, it was liberating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there is some similarity there, and in that regard, I tried very hard to be a free spirit, but I don't think I was the 70s, you know.
Hello, I must be going. I'm Frank Ferrante, creator and star of An Evening with Groucho, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall, we have one performance left of our special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged Updated in Greeley, Colorado on November 2nd. Then we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged from December 9 through 11 at the South Padre Island Convention Center in Texas. And next March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Charlotte Booker about her funny and lovely cabaret show, Elsa Lanchester, She's Alive, accompanied both on stage and in this conversation by her husband, Mark Nutter. The other thing I know Elsa Lanchester for is that she was married to Charles Laughton.
Yeah.
A great actor. And even a more amazing film director who only ever made the one film. And I imagine that was a what we would call now a complicated relationship. Am I right about that? Or am I reading
very
stuff in?
Complicated. Very, very complicated. And actually, I think pretty modern when you consider it. You know, her parents never married. So that's another thing that was odd about her growing up. She had her mother's surname, but her parents stayed together for 50-something years. In fact, her mother was institutionalized by her wealthy family for refusing to marry the man she was living with. His name was Seamus Sullivan. I mean, of all things, an Irishman, you know.
And really? Jewish fella, Seamus Sullivan?
And they were terribly British, you know, and wealthy. And so her Elsa's grandfather had her mother institutionalized, and his reason was overeducation. Given his daughters the opportunity to have the same education his sons had and live to regret it. So she was only kept in the institution for a few days, and they had to let her go because there was nothing wrong with her. And so Elsa grew up not believing in marriage. And it's very odd that she fell in love with this man who had to be married for so many reasons in those days.
And was Elsa, you've made this one person show a cabaret, so there's music in it. Was Elsa known for her singing as well? Was that part of her repertoire?
She was. In fact, that's sort of how she started as an Isadora Duncan dancer when she was a little girl. And then when she went back to London after World War I started, she was studying with Duncan in Paris. She had to make a living, and she was just barely a teenager. And so she opened a nightclub where she could perform every night. And she sang, she mostly made fun of old Victorian songs, and they did risque one acts, and she was really, I don't know, it was kind of the, well, you can't say acid queen. What would it have been in those days? She was really out there for her time. And she sang, yeah. And so she ended up being in this show called Riverside Nights. It was a huge hit. And she had recorded these songs that were written for her in the 1920s. And she never considered herself an actor. Charles was an actor to her.
Yeah.
He went to Rada. He did mostly stage. She didn't do all that much stage. The stage she liked, she called vaudeville, and she liked to sing and dance a little bit and look the audience in the eye and try to make them laugh.
It's been a treat for me because some of these songs are absolutely ridiculous. Some of these old music hall songs, a lot of them are about the perils of alcohol consumption. One song is called Please Sell More Drink to My Father.
No More Drink to My Father.
Please Sell No More Drink to My Father. Sung as a plea, a young orphan pleading.
Yes.
And, not an orphan, obviously.
But, yeah. Someone with an absent father or an absinthe father.
Absinthe father. Yeah, nice. Well, this is I'm feeling more and more of a connection to Elsa Lanchester the more we talk, because I mean, that sort of describes me. I'm a vaudevillian, and every now and then I get asked to quote act, and I go, they've got the wrong guy. They've hired the wrong guy.
Don't you think most of us are drawn to the stage because it's fun? And and music has always been so potent for me. And I don't know. It's really, it's just a lot of fun, and it's fun to make people laugh.
Yes.
Oh, 100%. And I was just having this conversation with a Shakespeare scholar friend of mine, because I was saying, I think this is why I'm drawn to Shakespeare, because you can't act Shakespeare without a little bit of performance. It needs to be lifted. This is elevated text. It's like music. It needs to be performed and grounded as an actor would ground a role.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, she played Ariel in Tempest to Charles Laughton's Prospero.
Oh.
And she got better reviews than he did in that.
Mm.
He was the one with all the cred, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's fascinating. Oh man, I would have loved to have seen that. But speaking of unknown credits and sexy redheads, am I right that you understudied Bernadette Peters?
No, I understudied Madeline Kahn. How is that for a Bride of Frankenstein connection?
That is really very cool.
Yes, I understudied Madeline Kahn for about a year in Born Yesterday on Broadway on tour. And that was quite an education.
I bet it was. This was after post Young Frankenstein, right?
Yeah. And I had always been told, I had been told by some people that I, you know, reminded them of her. I think it's a vocal quality. But I understudied. Can you believe that? And she's not with us anymore.
No, I know.
She died so much too. Well, the older I get, the younger she stays, you know?
Yeah. Are the songs you're singing in your show all actual music hall songs, or are they some songs that you and Mark have collaborated on?
It's a pastiche. It's a red bag.
Pastiche.
Some are music hall. Some are of the era, you would say, but not necessarily part of her act.
And some were written for her. She didn't have the greatest voice in the world, which is good for me because I only have to sound a bit better, you know. A lot of the songs were written for her, for her personality. And then there's one song written by Monsieur Nutter.
Yeah. You can find it.
Is that the Frankenstein creature's love song? That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Charlotte Booker's funny and powerful cabaret show, Elsa Lanchester, She's Alive, plays Wednesday and Thursday nights in October 2024 at the Venus Cabaret in Chicago. Go to ElsaLanchesterShow.com for tickets and more information. Then send us your goth icons via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or visit my website, TheShakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to father-in-law of Frankenstein, Matthew Croke, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Ray Acosta. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Ferrante, creator and star of another pretty great one-person show, An Evening with Groucho. Go to eveningwithgroucho.com for more information. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 932 2796th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
No, actually, I'm a character. I'm a non-speaking character in this show, who was based on a real guy, Ray the piano player. who was actually a paramour of Elsa Lancaster.
Elsa had her men and Charles had his.
Yeah.
And they were, they shared homes, you know, and she said she always liked it when Charles had boyfriends because he was much nicer. So, yeah.
Again, another similarity to you and Mark. Amazing.
Oh, this part's not going to be in, is it?
I'll put it at the very end where most people have already turned it off.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.